Drive time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. New year, seize the moment. Talk to a financial broker today about a Zurich pension.
Well, lockdown rumbles on. So how are you sleeping during it all? Are you still setting an alarm or is there any point because the morning commute is long gone and the days are sort of all blending together? Well, Professor of Medical Gerontology at Trinity College, Roseanne Kenny, has been examining just how COVID is impacting on our sleep patterns. And she joins us now on the line. And Professor Kenny, you're very welcome to the programme once again. Can you tell us what you have found out in terms of how lockdown is actually changing our sleep?
So we have found that lockdown is impacting on sleep duration and sleep quality. And I don't think that's terribly surprising because of the way our days have changed and our patterns of behaviours have changed because of COVID and because of lockdown. Also, because of the fact that depression is much more common now during COVID than it was. We had data pre-COVID, and that's in people over 50, just prior to COVID, almost, you know, on the eve of COVID, and then data during COVID. And so depression is much more prevalent, nearly 2.5 to 3 times, depending on the age group. Loneliness is, and social isolation is, and all of those things increase background stress and impact on sleep.
And when you say we're sleeping, our sleep patterns have changed in terms of the duration and the quality, is it that we're sleeping longer but the quality is less, or what have you found in relation to that?
Just disturbed sleeps.
Okay.
Poor quality sleep, waking more frequently, finding difficulty getting off to sleep, some people waking earlier in the morning, all of those factors and many of those characteristics are actually also associated with poor mood or low mood.
Because I think, as I said in the intro there, you know, a lot of people now have gained an hour maybe in the mornings because their commute is gone. They might be working from home so they can sleep in maybe a little bit longer. Is that a good thing to, you know, lengthen your sleep and have a lie-in? You know, is a lot of sleep good for you?
Okay, so the optimum period for sleep is 7 to 9 hours. And generally speaking, anything less than that or anything longer than that, actually in the long term is associated with poorer, you know, mental function and cognitive function, and in some circumstances, poorer health. So, I think that's of interest. It's also of interest to note that we spend 26 years of our lives asleep.
But can I ask you there, Roseanne, just on the optimum level of sleep,
yes,
or the optimum amount between 7 and 9,
yes,
what happens if it's broken sleep? What happens if you're sleeping well until 4 a.m., but then you wake up and you can't go back until 6 a.m., let's say, and then your little alarm clock walks in the door and demands porridge or Weetabix and you have to get up? I mean, should you, as Sarah says, should you try and go back or stay on in bed if you can?
Well, I mean, 4 o'clock wakening, I think you should try and stay on in bed and sleep if you can. But, you know, say 8 o'clock wakening and you think, oh, I'll stay on and try and sleep a bit longer and maybe not be able to sleep. The important thing is to get an average, a mean of 8 or anything between, in other words, 7 and 9, and to use your bedroom for sleeping if possible.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, rather than anything else. And there are a number of things we can do which help with sleep. We sleep for so long because the body needs it to repair, to get rid of toxins, and really to replenish both the brain and the body. So some of the things that we can do to help it are, if you're taking exercise, take it earlier in the day rather than later, because it increases adrenaline, which is a stress hormone, which is good. If it's increased for a short period of time, but obviously if it's increased near sleep time, it's going to make it'll excite your body systems, if you like, and upgrade the physiological system. So that's not good. So earlier exercise, make your last meal your smallest meal of the day. No blue light, at least for 1 hour before going
Phones,
to bed.
You mean.
So blue light is anything we get from television, or iPads, telephones, laptops, etc. Blue light suppresses.
Really?
Yes, and no taking of, if possible. I mean, if you're having problems, you shouldn't take the phone to the bed, because how many of us are guilty of looking at the phone and thinking, I'll just have a quick look at that email, and then 1 hour later, you're still looking at your phone lying in bed.
But if you're not having problems, Roseanne, is it okay to be looking at your phone in bed?
Well, obviously, because it's not impacting on your
sleep. Okay. I'm wondering, could it be impacting maybe on your quality without you even realising it?
No, I think you know about your quality of sleep, generally.
Sarah,
that's a very good question, because you don't really know about sleep quality. There are many layers to that, unless you're aware of the amount of time an individual is spending in what we call non-rapid eye movement, which is deep sleep, and that's the really good sleep. That's where the most of the repair and the getting rid of toxins happens, and also the retention of memory and the improvement in memory in the brain. But we're not really aware of that. Whereas rapid eye movement sleep is where we dream. So we're paralyzed, if you like, our body movements or our neurological function is paralyzed. With the exception of people who act out their dreams, but for the majority of us it is. But our dreams are vivid. That's non-rapid eye movement. It's very difficult to disaggregate those without having an EEG. Generally speaking, if you feel you've had a good night's sleep, you've had a good night's sleep. If you waken rested in the morning, that's a good thing.
Okay, we have a couple of texts in on this. One person says there's a blue light filter on phones and tablets, etc., so you can get the blue light out if you want to. I'm not sure
and
if that's missing
glasses.
The point.
There are specs which you can use.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Another person says optimum sleep 7 to 9 hours. Winston Churchill took 4 hours a night in the middle of a war and he lived into his 90s. Sure was there nothing that man couldn't do. And then another person says, this is Pamela in Kilkenny. I'm having very vivid dreams and waking up at very odd times, she says. Just very briefly on that, Roseanne, what would you say to Pamela about that? How could she address that?
Can I make some suggestions about things to avoid and things that are good for sleep in the context
briefly,
of food?
Briefly, if you don't mind. Yep.
So anything that contains tyramine, which increases noradrenaline, the stimulant hormone, will create vivid dreams and influence your sleep patterns. That's, you know, mature cheeses, spices, some Chianti, Italian wines, beers, coffee, etc. High fiber food at night, high carbohydrate, and actually alcohol.
Okay, brilliant. Listen, thank you so much for all that. I really appreciate it. That's Roseanne Kenny, gerontologist, professor of medical gerontology, indeed, at Trinity College.
And we should apologise to the professor for using that interview for personal gain, I think, how to improve our sleep. Anyway, it's